Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. This is the word of the Lord. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. That's the reading of God's word. May he bless it to us this evening. Well, as Benjamin Franklin once famously said, you can do anything that you set your mind to. And even though he said those words about 200 years ago or so, we still find them today being used, don't we? When we go in our classrooms at school, or the books we read, or especially on the commercials on TV, there are the same words being used many years later. But we all know at the same time that they're actually not true, don't we? They sound nice, they can be motivational, and I think that might be why we continue to use them, and they can get you excited. But we really can't do anything that we set our mind to. I can set my mind and try to be a champion weightlifter, and yet if you look at my build, you know that day is never going to come. And I'm sure you can look at your own life and think of similar examples. Well, as we see in our text tonight, when it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to doing the things that God calls us to do, whatever those things may happen to be, we can try all we want. We can set our mind to it all we want, but we can't do it in our own strength. We can't pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and get it done because, as Jesus shows us here, our ability to serve the Lord is not found in ourselves. It's not found in anything else, for that matter. It's found solely in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Therefore, as we seek to serve Him, and in particular as you, Tom, and Wes seek to serve Him faithfully as deacons in His church, we all need to do so with our eyes fixed on Christ and not on anything else, because He is the one who enables us to do the things that the Lord calls us to. And so as we see for our main point this evening, your ability to serve the Lord is found in Jesus Christ. And that's true for all who are believers here this evening. Therefore, always look to Jesus for the enablement you need. Well, let's look at this text in some greater detail. And as you can see on the outline that I've given you, our first point tonight is that you are unable to serve the Lord on your own. Verse 13. Here Matthew tells us, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Our passage this evening begins with Jesus departing his current location and going by boat to cross over the Sea of Galilee. And Matthew tells us here that Jesus did this by himself. But what he means by this is that the crowds did not cross the sea with him because he wasn't entirely alone. His disciples, as we see later in the text and as we learn from the other gospel accounts, were right there with him as he made this journey. And most likely they were leaving the city of Capernaum, from which Jesus based his earthly ministry, on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee. And as Luke tells us, they went over to the area of Bethsaida, and that was on the northeastern coast of the Sea of Galilee. And this was because, we're told here in verse 13, Jesus had just heard about the death of John the Baptist, and as Mark tells us in his account, he also wanted the disciples to get a little rest and relaxation after a busy time of ministry. But when the multitudes heard of Jesus' plan, Matthew tells us, they followed him on foot from all the cities and beat him across the sea. And so all of a sudden, the plans for this restful day had come to an end because, verse 14, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. As the other gospel writers tell us, Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And so he then went on to teach them all about the kingdom of God and to heal all of their sicknesses. And it went on for the entire day. And so, verse 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." Okay, Jesus, you've given them lots of spiritual food. You've given them lots of good things throughout the day. But we're out here in the middle of nowhere. It's time to let them go. It's time to let them get some food. And I think the disciples thought, okay, Jesus is going to agree with us. This long, exhausting day when we thought we were going to get a break is going to come to an end. And yet just when they thought he was going to send them away, what does Jesus say to them? Verse 16, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Not exactly the answer they expected, was it? Now, Matthew tells us later in verse 21 that 5,000 men, besides women and children, were in attendance that day. So that means we're talking roughly about 15 or 20,000 people out there with Jesus and his disciples at this time. 15 or 20,000 hungry stomachs. And yes, Jesus has just told these disciples to feed all 15 or 20,000 of those hungry stomachs. Now put yourself in the shoes of the disciple for just a minute. What would be crossing your mind as you realized what Jesus had just told you to do? "Are you kidding me, Lord? You know there's no way we can do this." And that's the disciples' reaction as well. Verse 17, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And these are not 5 loaves and 2 fish as we think of them today. John tells us in his account, these were 5 small barley cakes and 2 small fish. So Jesus had really given them an impossible task to fulfill. You could think of it this way. IU's assembly hall holds about the same amount of people that were out in the wilderness with Jesus at the time. About 17,500 people. So Jesus telling the disciples to feed the crowds in the wilderness with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish would be like Jesus telling us to feed the crowds in an IU basketball game with 5 ham sandwiches and a couple of apples. And you think to yourself, can we do that? Can we even come close to doing that? Well, obviously, we all know that. That's an impossible thing. We can't do it. And you see, while Jesus wanted them to feed the crowds, he knew that they couldn't do it. He knew that they did not have enough food to feed 15 people, let alone 15,000 people. But that was the point. That was the point. He wanted them to realize that it was an impossible task. He wanted them to come to the point of realizing we can't do it on our own. And that's the same point that he wants you to get from this passage as well. Because like the disciples, we're also incapable of doing the things that the Lord calls us to do. Jesus says elsewhere in John 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So what Jesus is showing us here, what he tells us here in John 15, verse 5, is that to trust God in your times of trouble, that is something that you are incapable of doing on your own. To kill sin, especially your besetting sins, is something you're incapable of doing on your own. To be a faithful husband, to be a faithful wife, to be pure outside of marriage, to love your neighbor, to witness to your coworker, whatever these things are that the Lord calls you to do, Jesus tells us here and shows us these are things that we are incapable of doing. As he demonstrates for us, it's like being told to feed 15,000 people with one kid's lunchbox. It gets the point across. It can't be done. And Tom and Wes, this is something that you two especially need to keep in mind as you go in to fulfilling your responsibilities as deacons. Because you're going to be called to do menial work. You're not going to get paid for it. Sadly, you might not get a whole lot of recognition for it. And it's going to cost you a lot. You're going to have to make sacrifices in your own time, time with your family, It's not going to be easy. And it's going to become apparent to you that you can't do it. And Jesus wants you to know that from the start. This is a task that you can't do on your own. This is a task that none of us can do on our own. And this is because, as we see secondly, our ability to serve the Lord is not found in us. It's found in Christ. That's where our ability is to be found. Right, so up to this point, we have seen the disciples know that they're incapable of feeding the multitudes. But what we now need to see is that as the passage goes on, their incapability actually did not hinder them from feeding the people in the end. So look at verses 17 to 20 now with me. And they said, the disciples said to Jesus, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. And so, and despite the disciples' inability, the crowds were able to be fed. And notice here, it's not just that 50 of them were somehow able to get some food, but all 15 or 20,000 of them were able to get some food. And, as Matthew tells us, it wasn't a meager something to simply tide them over until they could get home. It was a feast. They were filled, Matthew says, so much so that at the end, after they had eaten to their heart's content, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, how did that happen? If the disciples didn't have the capability, then how could this take place? Well, as we all know, it wasn't because the disciples somehow found enough money to go out and buy all the food that was needed. That was suggested by one of the disciples, but that wasn't the case. In fact, as we look at the text, it had nothing to do with the disciples. But rather, Jesus miraculously took the little that they had and multiplied it by his power. And that's how the hungry crowds had their food. He did something that only God could do. Provide manna in the wilderness when there wasn't food for them. And again, that's the point Jesus wanted them to get. That despite their inability, he's the almighty, powerful Son of God. And as such, he's not limited by their inability. Rather, he can give them the ability. In fact, in John's account, John 6, verse 6, we're told that Jesus was testing the disciples when he commanded them to feed the multitudes, knowing what it is that he was going to do. In other words, his whole purpose here was for them to realize that if they were going to do what he had just told them, they desperately needed him to take some action. Augustine of Hippo once said, "O Lord, command what you will and give what you command." In other words, Lord, you can command me to do whatever you want, but please give me the ability to do these things that you want me to do. Because, as Augustine knew, without God's enabling grace, he could do nothing that God had commanded. But with God's enabling grace, he could do everything that God had commanded. And as we look at the account in Matthew's Gospel, is that not exactly what Jesus did for the disciples? He gave that which he commanded. You see, Jesus did the multiplying, but who did the feeding? I think we often look at this and we think, well, Jesus made the bread multiply and Jesus was giving the bread, and so ultimately Jesus was feeding, and that's true. But if you look again at the text, Jesus did the multiplying, but the disciples did the feeding, and they did the feeding exactly as Jesus had told them to do it. Verse 19, Matthew makes this clear for us, that when Jesus took the loaves, he looked up to heaven, he blessed and broke, and he gave the loaves, not to the people, to the disciples, so that the disciples could give to the multitudes. So in the end, the disciples did exactly what Jesus had commanded them to do, even though they did not have the ability to do it, because Jesus gave them the ability. And so it is with all of us. If we're to serve the Lord and we don't have that ability, we have the ability in Jesus Christ. And that's what he's showing us here, because Jesus is our ability. Again, if you look at what Jesus says in John 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." For the past couple of weeks or so, my son Micah has been learning to ride his bike. And he's making progress, but he's not quite there yet. And so every time we go out to practice riding the bike, he'll sit on the seat, he'll put his hands on the handlebars, and he'll even push the pedals. He'll ride the bike. But he's only able to do that because I'm holding on to the bike. And so too, we need to work hard when it comes to serving the Lord. Right? We need to push the pedals, as it were. But we're only going to get somewhere because of the enabling power of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's showing us here. As Paul says later in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, work out your own salvation, or we could say, serve the Lord as he calls you to, with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. We still have to work. We still have to strive. We can't be lazy in trusting the Lord and fighting sin or being faithful deacons. But it's Christ's power that enables us to do it. He is our ability. He is the one who gives that which he commands. And we all need to keep that in mind. Tom and Wes, you need to keep that in mind. Christ and Christ alone is your ability to serve the Lord. And so therefore, as we come to our third point, we always need to look to Jesus for the enablement that we need to serve God. And so let's look at the text again. When the disciples realized what Jesus had commanded them to do, that is when it finally sunk in that, yes, he was telling them, you guys have to feed these 15 or 20,000 people. What was their response? Was it, oh, Jesus, we'll just start giving the bread out and Jesus will make it multiply? Was it, Jesus, I don't think we have enough. Could you maybe help us out here? I think if you look again at verse 17, they didn't do either of these things. But instead they protested that it can't be done. Lord, we have only five loaves of bread and two fish. Or as Philip said to Jesus in John 6, verse 7, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. In other words, even if they had enough money, even if they had over a half a year's worth of wages with them, they still couldn't provide the food that these people needed. And you see, when Jesus commanded them to feed the multitudes, the disciples could not get their eyes off the circumstance. They couldn't get beyond the impossibility of what he had just told them to do. But if their eyes had been on Jesus, and if their minds would have been thinking and remembering and believing in what they knew Jesus could do for them, my guess is their response would have been a little different. Because had they remembered that it was Jesus who had just spent the entire day miraculously healing the sick, I think they would have known that he could easily, miraculously multiply five loaves and two fish to feed tens of thousands of people. But you see, their eyes weren't on Jesus. And that's what kept them from being able to feed the people when he first told them to do so. Likewise, as you experience the impossibility of doing all that God commands, you need to make sure that your eyes are fixed on Jesus and not on the circumstances. Because when your eyes are fixed on the circumstances, you're going to be like the disciples and you're not going to be able to get beyond the impossibility. It's going to trip you up. You're going to be full of doubts and worries and you're not going to make the progress you need to. And that cannot happen, brothers and sisters. Because we have been created by God to serve the Lord. And we have been redeemed by God to serve the Lord. And Tom and Wes, you're going to be ordained by God to particularly serve the Lord as deacons here in just a few minutes. And so as we all undertake to do what God calls us to do, which ought to be the driving passion of our lives, we need to be looking to the one who gives us the ability and not looking to our inability. Because as we look to Jesus, as we confess our inability, as we know and as we remind ourselves and as we believe that he is our ability, and as we trustingly plead that he would give us more of that ability, what will he do but enable us to feed the 15 or 20,000 people with the five meager loaves that we have and the two small fish? And you realize Jesus will do that for us, not because we have earned it, but he will do it because when he was on earth, he didn't just break the five loaves for the crowds in the wilderness, but he also broke his body for you and for me. And one of the reasons he did that was yes, so that we'd be forgiven. Yes, so that we would be righteous in God. But also so that we would be able to serve the Lord as He calls us to, even though we're not able to. And the book of Hebrews makes this plain when it tells us in Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" You know, still to this day, having been practicing for a few weeks now, every time Micah wants to ride his bike, he doesn't just go out to the garage, get on the bike, start pedaling down the street, and off he is on his own. Because he knows that for now, at least, he can't do it on his own. He needs me to be there. And so when he wants to ride his bike, what does he do? He comes and gets me, and he asks me, and he makes sure that I'm there with him. And so too, brothers and sisters, as you seek to serve the Lord, don't try it in your own strength. You're going to crash. Right? But rather look to Christ. Find your confidence in the fact that He is there with you. Look for your success from the ability that He will give you. In a word, push the pedals, knowing that He is holding the bike. As Paul says in Colossians 1, verses 28 and 29, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving," there's the language of work, "labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily." Your ability to serve the Lord is found in Christ. And so, like the apostle says here, and like the disciples learned in our text, don't look to yourself. Don't look to your inability. Look to Christ. Keep your eyes on Him, because He is your ability. And as you look to Him, He will give you that which He commands. Let's praise Him for that. Our Father in heaven, we do thank You for this reminder. We know that this is a text that many of us are familiar with. But Lord, it's one that we so often forget. Lord, as we try to do things in our own strength, or even, Lord, forgive us for the times that we looked to other people or to other resources or other sources of so-called strength to give us the ability we need. Lord, forgive us for thinking that we can do it on our own, for we can't. And I pray, Lord, that You would impress upon our hearts this evening our inability, that we might magnify all the more Christ's ability for us. Lord, may we be a people who always look to Christ for the enablement we need. And Lord, may Tom and Wes always be men who find their ability to serve You in Your church. May they always look to You. Lord, give them that grace. Help us all to be those who rely on Christ in all that we do, that You might be served as You, Jesus, have died so that we would. Bless us, we pray. Forgive us of all our sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.